From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, January 17th. Coming up, we'll learn how Donald Trump's immigration policy might impact the meatpacking industry and the price of our food. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Wintry weather is changing part of Monday's MLK celebration in Danville. Organizers canceled the annual motorcade and parade. However, a community-wide service at St. James United Methodist Church will go on at 11:30 a.m. The service will include presenting a Danville High School senior with a $6,000 scholarship. The Illinois State Board of Education has voted to recommend a budget that includes a $350 million increase in evidence-based funding for school districts. That's a formula that funnels new dollars to districts with the greatest needs first. Here's State Education Superintendent Tony Sanders.
This year's budget recommendation recognizes the tight fiscal projections faced by the state of Illinois while continuing to invest in things that we know that are critical for school districts and that have a direct impact on student learning.
The state has boosted evidence-based funding every year since 2018, except one. But the state is not expected to meet its goal of adequately funding all school districts by 2027. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is launching an online portal for children's behavioral health care. Mawa Iqbal reports.
It's called Beacon. Officials say that's because the goal is to be a beacon of light for families seeking help. In the portal, parents and caregivers can learn about nearby community-based services like outpatient counseling or residential treatment their child may be eligible for. Pritzker says many families don't know where to start.
There's so much stigma around this issue. And for some people, the easiest way to start knowing that you need to find help is to go online and get help online without having to interact with anybody up front.
The portal does not link families directly to behavioral health providers, except in a few cases where they're working with a state worker. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The Fighting Illini women's basketball team won on the road last night against Indiana, 68-54. IPM's Colin Highslope has more.
This was the Illini's first road victory of the season against a Big Ten conference opponent. Illinois forward Kendall Bostic led all scorers with 21 points and added 8 rebounds. The team now has an overall record of 13-4 and are 3-3 in Big Ten conference play. As for their next matchup, the Illini will host the Michigan State Spartans at State Farm Center at 2 p.m. on Sunday. I'm Colin Highslope, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll learn how Donald Trump's immigration policy might impact the meatpacking industry and the price of our food. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, mostly sunny with a high of 40 degrees and a south wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with rain likely, possibly changing over to snow after midnight and a low of 25 degrees. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 27 degrees. Northwest wind 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 8 degrees. And north wind 10 miles per hour. And for Sunday, partly cloudy and cold with a high of 12 degrees. And a northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, our Friday Week in Review, we'll talk about former House Speaker Michael Madigan's testimony at his corruption trial and staff unrest under the current Speaker of the Illinois House. Plus, what's been happening in Northern Illinois and the Library of Things. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. President-elect Donald Trump returns to the White House on Monday, January 20th, and he's promised to make immigration his top priority. That's likely going to have big impacts on the meatpacking industry and the price of our food. Harvest Public Media's contributor and senior editor for the Food and Environment Reporting Network, Ted Genoways, reports from Greeley, Colorado, on what that may mean for workers and consumers.
President-elect Trump has promised to crack down on illegal immigration, closing the border on his first day back in the Oval Office.
And on that same day, We will begin the largest deportation operation in American history.
Trump vows to remove up to 20 million immigrants, claiming that it will open up jobs for Americans. But experts say it won't be that easy. The meatpacking industry historically relied on immigrant labor, especially undocumented labor. But in the last 20 years, after a series of immigration raids, the industry turned to a new group, refugees. JBS, the largest meat producer in the world, pioneered the practice of hiring refugees for a simple reason: they couldn't be deported. At its three largest beef plants in Texas, Nebraska, and Colorado, the company employs more than 10,000 workers.
This workforce is an immigrant workforce, but they are here legally.
That's Kim Cordova, president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 7, which represents workers at the JBS plant in Greeley, Colorado. She estimates that perhaps 90% of employees there are foreign-born.
All the workers, at least at this facility, are documented, are here on proper work visas or asylum visas, refugees.
But Trump has vowed that his deportation program will include rescinding legal status for people who arrived here under humanitarian parole. In the last 4 years, President Biden used this executive power to welcome about 1 million people, refugees from Afghanistan, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Cuba, and Haiti, and many of them find work in hard manufacturing jobs, like meatpacking.
There's not a long line of people waiting for these jobs. They're some of the most dangerous jobs in the world to work at, and just really dangerous working conditions.
Cordova says the JBS plant in Greeley has a night shift made up of about 1,200 Haitian immigrants. They arrived in a wave about a year ago, fleeing gang violence in Haiti and drawn by the promise of a steady job with good pay at JBS. Now their future is in doubt. Chelly Moise is one of those Haitians. He fled to the U.S. through Nicaragua and traveled up through Central America to Mexico, where he was approved for humanitarian parole. He's not sure his fellow Haitians understand what Trump could do.
They feel secure because they know they already filed for asylum. I don't think they know the power that Trump is actually going to have as soon as, you know, he becomes the president.
Moise says that if the Trump administration rescinds humanitarian parole and flies Haitian asylum seekers back to Port-au-Prince, the gangs that forced them to flee will be waiting.
Most of us, we left the country, obviously, because it was very bad, and we know for sure going back to Haiti is a death sentence.
Mass deportations will not only endanger the immigrants who are directly affected, they could also have wider impacts on the American food system. Don Stahl is an emeritus professor of anthropology at the University of Kansas, who studied the meatpacking industry for more than 3 decades. He warns mass deportations will come with hidden costs for Americans, too.
If President-elect Trump, in fact, implements the kind of draconian policies that he has talked about, what we're going to see is a devastating impact on the meat and poultry industry.
Back in Colorado, Cordova predicts that Trump won't deport legal workers on humanitarian parole. He will simply convert them to temporary work visas.
And they don't really want to do away with immigrants. They just don't want immigrants to have any rights. I mean, they know this country would collapse without them.
What actually happens when Trump takes office remains to be seen. I'm Ted Genoways, Harvest Public Media.
This reporting was done in collaboration with producer Mary Andre and the Food and Environment Reporting Network. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Isabella Nieto, Mawa Iqbal, Reginald Hardwick, Colin Highslope, and Ted Genoways. Music by the Kilbornelli Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.